We heard the word for our meditation this morning in the second lesson, Romans 14, verses 5 through 9. Key words there: if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, you give endurance and encouragement, so give us a spirit of unity among ourselves as we follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In his dear name, dear family of God, have you ever been slighted, overlooked, ignored? About the time you think you have this problem licked, you'll find yourself in some strange place like a class reunion. In my small alma mater, several classes will get together. And one year they were reminiscing about a musical my senior year. I tried out for the bartender, was cast instead as Wild Bill Hickok, opposite the leading lady, Calamity Jane. During one of the performances, Calamity missed her cue and came out onto stage early. Everybody in the audience saw her and gasped. And she blurted out, "I'm not supposed to be here." And everybody laughed as she exited. What's the problem? That's all anybody remembers. What about those of us who were left on stage who had to ad lib and save the play by moving on? And you sit there and say, "So what? Who cares? It was a high school musical." And you worked really hard on something, and somebody else took the credit. You maybe got a patent. Somebody else found some way around it. They take your good name. They take your paycheck. They take your recognition. They'll take everything they can. And it hurts, especially when you think you've got it licked. What is this inside this sinful heart that is so petty and so small? Except our human pride, which wars against the Spirit of God, who has one message for our lives: live to the Lord. Change the initials on your life to SDG. SDG. Best initials for your life. We've been listening all summer long during the season of Pentecost, while the colors are green for our growing faith in the Word of God, applying it to our lives. And the second lesson has come from Romans, with awesome passages, until the last one on this Sunday from Romans 14, and now this. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord, because he gives thanks to God. If you grew up in a family where meat was not allowed on Friday, you maybe have a sense of the problem here and how the early Christians struggled with this, because many of them were raised as good Jewish believers looking forward to the coming Christ, but there were dietary laws mandated by God through Moses at Mount Sinai. There were things they could eat and things they could not. And then in the New Testament church, all these non-Jews, Gentiles, come into the church by faith in Jesus. They can eat whatever they want. And when Paul gets finally to this point of applying the law of love to the Christian congregation, he says, when you are dealing with someone that's weak in the faith and you're strong, have pity. In Christian love, don't do things that would be a stumbling block to someone else's faith. It's just another way of applying the law of love to a real life situation, which may take many different forms in our lives too. But the whole thing revolves around living to the Lord in life and in death, SDG. Paul, as a former persecutor and personal prosecutor of every Christian he could find, knew what it meant to have the grace of God smile on him when he was a violent unbeliever. And he'll go on, as he tells here in Romans, thinking back on how the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, convinced him that Jesus is alive. And after that, Paul, as the missionary of the Gentile, was so enamored by the grace of God, he just wanted to tell everyone he could. He suffered tremendously by this time. But he says in the last chapters of Romans that he wants to get to them. He's just got something to do first. Do you remember what that was? They had taken a collection for the famine victims back in Jerusalem. Paul needs to deliver it and hopefully escape from the Jews, the unbelieving Jews back there. And then he plans to come to Rome. Didn't go quite the way he hoped. He gets to Jerusalem, falsely accused by rioting Jews there, ends in jail for 2 years. Two unjust Roman rulers finally force him to appeal to Caesar, which is his right as a Roman citizen. That means he goes to Rome and stands before the emperor himself. And the last chapters of the book of Acts are this violent shipwreck, one of the most vivid recordings in all of literature of how he was finally shipwrecked and ended up in Rome. He got there all right, nearly died on the way. And then, as far as we know, he got his wish to go on and carry the gospel on to Spain, was arrested again, and then finally beheaded by Nero, according to tradition. But he was living every moment of his life to the Lord. That's all he cared about, was to live to the Lord. You look at examples like that, and I have to stop and pray, Lord, forgive this petty pride. Forgive me and let me have that spirit of love as you showed, Lord Jesus, the perfect substitute for all of us. You come and you live to the glory of the Father. Everything you do is to praise Him and to fulfill your mission to His glory and His honor. You're the perfect substitute in life. You're the perfect substitute in death, where innocently you shed your blood for me and for all, and for this awful sin of pride that sneaks up on me. Have you ever thought about this, that, you know, that the opposite of pride is humility, that humility is the most elusive of Christian virtues? The second you think you have it, you've lost it. You start thinking how humble you are, and boom, you aren't anymore. It's just, you can't look at it. Otherwise, it's gone. Dear Jesus, you are that humble Savior, and in your innocent death, you shed your blood for that pride of mine that keeps on popping up. Perfect substitute. How can I say thank you? The Lord says, live to the Lord alone. Let the initials on your life be SDG. Pastor, what's that mean? Some of you music majors may remember the most famous composer ever, not just of church music. And you'll get a clue in a recessional that Heidi will play at the end. It's called Prelude in C by Johann Sebastian Bach. He signed his church music SDG. You'll get another clue. If you remember, angels we have heard on high, and the refrain is Latin, but you know it. Glory in excelsis Deo. It's what the shepherds heard outside of Bethlehem from the angels, that awesome message that night, that glory in excelsis Deo sent them to Bethlehem to see their Savior and home again, telling everyone they could about this one who came to live and die and live again for sinners all. Glory in excelsis Deo. If ever there was a life where the initials were SDG, it was Jesus' life. And Bach wanted that on all his pieces to remember whose life it really was. Live to the Lord in life and in death, because none of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. He bought you twice. I know junk science out there wants everybody to believe they came from slime. And then they wonder why people are messed up. But God says you didn't come from slime. He says, I created you and I knew you before time began. I knew you by name. You are mine. And when we rebelled with our father Adam, and all mankind fell in Adam's fall, our heavenly Father determined that he would buy us again. Buy us back with the blood of his own Son. And Jesus, living to the Lord alone, would not stop until he had shed that blood that would wash away your sins and mine. But they're not done. Jesus, giving glory to the Father, promises that he and the Father will send the Holy Spirit, who keeps on coming, sanctifying every day with God's word as another holy day, putting God's name on souls in baptism, claiming them as the Lord's own, and giving you his holy presence again and again in his body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do not shine the light on themselves. This is one of the amazing things about the Trinity. Equally God, all three persons, and yet glorifying each other, not self. Glorifying God. It's what Jesus did. And it is the life of, I think, one of the greatest couple of examples of SDG. The hymn we will sing at the end of the service, hymn number 760, has three names at the bottom of the second page. You have heard, some of you, about the composer who wrote the tune and setting of 760, Philip P. Bliss. You may remember that snowstorm in 1876 while Bliss and his family were on a train from Chicago to Buffalo, New York. Visit his mother, I think it was. Went over a railroad trestle that collapsed. The train went into the icy river. Philip Bliss was one of 100 who died. He died trying to save his wife, but his whole family was lost. A few years before that, another name for hymn 760, that's the name of the author of the text, was in the news. Horatio G. Spafford, lawyer in Chicago. Remember that story? The great Chicago fire devastated everything. They're trying to rebuild. All the schools are destroyed. So this well-known lawyer took his wife and four daughters and put them on a luxury liner, a sailing ship, bound for France. He was a little bit nervous about their first quarters, so he moved them to a forward cabin closer to the bow. They sailed off. He had some work to get done. He'd join them later. On a November night on the Atlantic, strangely, the sea was calm. It was a bright night. Somehow, they collided with an iron sailing ship. And the water rushed in. She tried to hang on to one of their daughters, Mrs. Spafford. Another passenger had hold of two other daughters trying to swim to a lifeboat or something, but the daughters couldn't hang on. They were lost. 9 days after the wreck, Mrs. Spafford cabled her husband back in America, saved, alone. How do you go on from that? Four daughters drowned. He got on a sailing ship as soon as he could to join his wife in Europe. And as they were passing over the place, the captain called him and he said, I think this is where it was. I think this is about where the ship went down with your family. Horatio Spafford went to his cabin and alone said to himself, God's will is good. Let his will be done. Went on to join his wife. She said later she didn't know how she could go on. There's really only one reason. How they could go on and start a society, I think it's still in operation today, still in Israel, for people who go through tragedies like that and who need the Lord in their life, or the mission that they started for Muslims to tell them the gospel. You understand exactly what drove them on and gave them the power in that grief if you, as you, love the second verse of 760, this in particular. Horatio Spafford wrote the words, Philip Bliss wrote the tune. He named it Ville d'Arve after the ship that went down. That was Bliss's name for his friend's ship. Stanza 2. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. S-D-G. Latin. Soli Deo Gloria. Not just for pieces of music, but for your life. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. Amen.